holiday weekend. I know 75% of Michiganders run the way north this week, it's all the traffic going that way, but that's not kept by our house. Good to see you over here this morning and using this time to worship our God, to edify and build up one another. Thank you for being here. I'm sure God speaks his word. Thank you for the songs that Romero has led and encouraging us to remain faithful to God and to give him the honor and the glory that he deserves. You know, there's a false idea in this world about heaven and hell. It's been going on ever since heaven and hell were ever mentioned. Heaven, they say, is a place where all the good people of the world go. When they die, they go to heaven, a place of eternal joy and happiness, no pain, no sorrow, no more dying. So people strive their whole lives to do good things, things that they think will be pleasing to God and man and make him happy so that he will allow us into heaven. They will sacrifice their time. They will volunteer for all kinds of charitable events. They will sacrifice their money. They will contribute and donate to large sums of money to worthy causes, to the needy, to the downtrodden, and even their material goods. They will give their homes and houses to house these charitable events and planes to transport maybe the needy, the victims to hospitals. And the world looks at these individuals as great people, good people. And they are. Surely heaven is a place for people like this. And then when they talk about hell, this is the eternal abode of bad people. Mean people. People who do all kinds of bad things. It's a place of eternal punishment, fire and pain and misery. They deserve this punishment because of the evil that they have done in their lives. They were cheaters. They were liars. They were child abusers. They were adulterers. They never did anything good for anyone else. It was always for self. They always took advantage of the less fortunate for their own profit. These were mean, spirited people. The meanest of the mean, so to speak. This is why hell was designed, to punish these people because of all the bad things that they did in their lives. Now, these are somewhat accurate descriptions of these eternal places of abode for the dead. The Bible talks about there is life after death. That the physical body, when it does decay and turns back to dust, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, you remember when God was talking to Adam and Eve in the garden after they had sinned, and he said, a man will return to the dust from which you came. But Solomon also talked about something after death. When the body returns to dust, he says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, that the spirit returns to God who gave it. To be turned to God to be judged and sent to the proper place of eternity, heaven or hell, to abide forever, depending on how they lived upon this earth. I said these two views of eternity were somewhat accurate. Yes, there will be good people in heaven and bad people in hell. But not all the good people, at least according to the world that were good, will be in heaven. Thus the title of my lesson here, there will be good people in hell. Well, how can that be? Good people belong in heaven, everybody says. They receive the reward for the good deeds that they had done. They should receive blessings, not punishment. Only bad people go to hell, they say. How can you say there will be good people in hell? Because this is what the Bible teaches. There will be good people in hell. Not all good people will make it to heaven. Well, how so? I invite your attention to the book of Mark this morning. And we read about the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Let's refresh our memory here in just a moment. In Mark chapter 10, notice verses 17 through 23. Mark chapter 10, beginning verse 17. And he was going forth into the way. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, and honor thy father and mother. Verse 20. And he said, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I obeyed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said to him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God. We see this young man, this rich young man. He wants eternal life, and he wants it bad. He sees Jesus coming, and he runs to talk to Jesus. He knows Jesus has the answer to this dilemma for him. In verse 19, he asks the question, What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers this question. He says, Obey the commandments of God. No adultery, do not kill, no stealing, no lying, no cheating, honor your father and mother. And in verse 20, the man exclaims, I have done all of these. I have kept the commandments of God. I have been a good Jew. I have been a good person, both in God's standards and man's. And notice Jesus' response in verse 22, or 21, he said, Jesus loved him. When he heard that, he knew the man was telling the truth. He could have told if he was lying or not, but he knew he was telling the truth. And Jesus said he loved him. The Bible says Jesus loved him. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us too many people that Jesus loved, but this rich young ruler was one of them. Very few people that Jesus ever met had the moral and spiritual qualities of this man, and he loved him. But there was one thing he lacked in doing in order to make it to heaven. Jesus told him, sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. That was it. Eternal life can be yours if you will just do this one last thing. Just do what I tell you and you can have what you ask for, eternal life. And we see in verse 22, it says he walked away mad. He would not follow Jesus. He had a lot of possessions. He was a very rich man in the world's goods. But to sell it, all of it, and give the money to the poor, and follow Jesus, couldn't do it. His greed would not allow this to happen. Yes, he was a good man. He did many wonderful things, obeyed the commandments of God. The one fault was keeping him out of the kingdom of heaven. It was his greed, his love for things. Jesus said this same attitude will keep many good, rich people out of heaven. This was a good man, according to God and the world. But he turned his back. Of entering into the kingdom of God. And if he didn't change this attitude and do what Jesus told him, he was destined to hell. A good man, but no eternal life for him. Only hell awaited him in this condition. A sad scenario, indeed. Let's go to another example in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, in the setting of this, Christians were suffering at this time. There was a famine in the land. Food was scarce, and if you could find it, it was very expensive. And some brethren couldn't afford to buy food to feed their families. And they were in dire straits, so the other brethren took care of those needs. Notice in Acts chapter 4, just the last few verses in Acts chapter 4. Beginning verse 34, it says, Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this was a common occurrence. At this time, the brethren were taking care of each other. Those that needed food and things, his brethren would sell what properties that they had and other things and bring the money to the apostles and lay it down at their feet and say, here, use this to help these people. Well, in chapter 5, we meet a man named Ananias and Sapphira, and they did this very same thing. Notice in verses 1 and 2, Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira with his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. They sold some property. They brought some of the money that they sold it for and brought it to the apostles that it would be distributed among the saints, the needy saints. This was a good thing. This was a kind thing. Looking after the less fortunate, God had blessed them with more than they needed, and they began to sell that part of the property to help those in need. What a good gesture, a kind thing that they did. So what's the problem? We sold a piece of property to help the needy. Notice verses 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. They lied about the price that they got for selling the property. They had a right to keep some of the money. It was theirs. They didn't have to give it all. No one was forcing them to give it all. People were just coming, giving what they had. But they brought part of the money to the apostles and said, here's all the money that we got for selling this piece of land. They lied. Peter said, Satan has filled your heart. And you lied to God. God knew all the details of the situation, and he was not happy. Ananias tried to deceive the apostles. He wanted to look good in the eyes of the people, and they did. But God knew what was going on behind the scenes, so to speak. Ananias was a liar and a deceiver, trying to pull a scam off that he was a righteous man, but he was not. He did a good thing. He gave to the needy in the eyes of the people. He was a good man. And they were thankful for what he had done, maybe even praising him for it. But in God's eyes, he was a sinner, a servant of Satan. Satan had entered into his heart and Ananias allowed him to stay. In verse 5, we see that Ananias fell down dead. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. God killed him, took his life. He was not fit to live. He was setting the wrong example for the early church. God made an example out of him for the church, he and his wife. But we see in verses 6 through 11, his wife did the same thing. She committed the same thing. She came and conspired. They conspired together to lie to God and deceive the people. But in the eyes of people, they were considered good people. These good people will not be in heaven. They will spend an eternity with the rest of the liars that burn in the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, John, as he saw the vision of that great scene, he says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, he says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They were good people, did good things, but they lied to God. God takes lying seriously. But it was for a good cause, to help these needy people. God's eyes, it didn't matter. They were destroyed, though. Yes, some good people will be in heaven. not only that, I invite your attention now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Notice in verses 21 through 22. Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Verse 23, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Verse 21, "Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." Many people may call Jesus their Lord. They claim to be doing things that he desires, his commandments, etc. They won't make it to heaven because they didn't do God's will. Verse 22, "We've prophesied in your name, Jesus. We've cast out devils and did many wonderful things in your name. We're good people. We're servants of yours. Let us into your kingdom." Verse 23, Jesus says, "I never knew you. Get away from me. You're not my servants. You were not serving me. Your works were not works of faith. They were works of Satan. And heaven is reserved for those. Heaven is only reserved for those that do the will of God, not for you. But we did some incredible things for you. Giving credit to Jesus. In your name we were doing these things." But Jesus said, he never knew them. He says, "You can claim to belong to me all you want, but your actions speak louder than words. I know the real reasons that you did these things, and it's not good. The people may think that you're good people, but I do not. You say you taught me to others. For what purpose? For selfish reasons? To boost up your pride? Maybe for profit even? Or for glory among the people?" Paul knew about people like this. Remember in Philippians when he wrote to the church at Philippi? In Philippians chapter 1, the brethren were worried with Paul being in jail that the gospel was not being preached. And Paul says it is being preached. People are stepping up in my absence and preaching the gospel. Don't fear that the gospel is not being preached just because I'm in here. I'm even doing preaching the gospel here in prison. But notice what Paul realized. People were preaching the gospel, but for what reason? Notice verse 15, Philippians chapter 1. And verse 15. "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing this, that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Some people were preaching the gospel out of envy and strife and selfish ambition. They're going to get something from it, for me, because I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They weren't doing it sincerely, he said. Could this be how some of those in Matthew chapter 7 taught about Jesus? Why Jesus was so angry with them? Could this be why these people would not be in heaven? But they said, "Jesus, we cast out demons in your name." Were these real? Were these the fake healers of the time? You know how that goes. People have, they stage these events, they get somebody to claim that they had some problem. In this instance, they were demon-possessed. And then the preacher comes along and casts out this demon from this person. Were these just staged exhibitions that you did? Was it for your glory? For your fame? For financial gain, maybe? Jesus knew the truth of the matter. "But in your name, Jesus, we did many wonderful works." Again, what for? Was it to boost your pride? for the fame that the people would give you, for your own glory. Jesus dealt with many people like this as he lived upon this earth. They were doing good, but for the wrong reason. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. He encourages the disciples there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Notice what he says. Take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. People were giving to the needy for show. I'm about to put some money in the treasury in the temple. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarms. Look at what I'm doing. They were doing it for their own glory, for their own pride. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. Pick up at verse 7. Matthew 15. It says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy to you, saying, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They honor God with their lips. They praise God with their lips. Jesus says, but their hearts are far from me. All of these things would have been great if they had done the will of the Father in doing that. But evidently they were not. They were done for the wrong reasons. Maybe they said that they were doing it by the authority of Jesus, in his name. But Jesus says, you are not. Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Good people will not be in heaven, but will be in hell. And lastly, let's look at Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, named, I was chosen by the Lord, one of the chosen 12. Jesus chose me above all the other disciples. I was one of the chosen 12. Notice in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. He says, and when he had called together his 12 disciples, he gave them power against the unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. How much gooder can you get? One of Jesus' 12 disciples, handpicked by Jesus himself to be one of his closest disciples. Surely he would be allowed into heaven, would he not? What happened? Judas betrayed Jesus for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Yes, that was bad. But he could have been forgiven of that. And we see in Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5, he goes back to the chief priest who gave him the 30 pieces of silver, throws it back to them, says he's done wrong, and went out and killed himself. He violated the law of God. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 3, notice verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer shall have eternal life abiding in him. Judas murdered himself. He could have been forgiven of betraying Jesus. And God, I doubt very seriously if God would have held it against him. God would have forgiven him of even that sin. But he chose to kill himself instead. But he was one of the 12, the chosen 12. Jesus handpicked him. And he followed Jesus. He wasn't like the rich man that wouldn't follow Jesus. Judas followed Jesus for the 3.5 years, as the others did. He forsook all of his riches, like the rich man did. When Jesus called them, they left everything and followed him. Judas left all of his riches, as Jesus required of the rich man. Judas will not be allowed into heaven because of his sin. He has no way of repenting of that sin now. He murdered himself. He was a good man at times, but he won't be in heaven either. You see, just being a good person doesn't give us an automatic pass into heaven. Many good people will be left out. So what is it going to take to make it to heaven and not be turned away? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "You must do the will of the Father." That's what he told those people. They weren't doing that. They were doing many wonderful things, but they weren't doing the will of the Father. Jesus said, "You want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to do the will." In John chapter 6, notice verses 38 through 40. What else is it going to take to make it into heaven? John chapter 6, beginning verse 38. Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that of which all have been given me, I should lose none, but should raise up again the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." He says we've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That he came down to earth to save mankind. Jesus says if men will do that, will believe on me, you can have eternal life. You will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not only that, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Belief and baptism in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have your sins forgiven. Just being a good person is not going to be enough to make it into heaven. Well, what will it take? Let's look at a good example of someone that did. Let's look at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 10 for a moment. In Acts chapter 10, we're introduced to a man named Cornelius. Notice verses 1 and 2. It says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." Cornelius was a good man. He was a devout guy. He was a religious man. He respected God in his ways. He helped the needy. He prayed to God often. By all standards, Cornelius was a good man. God had sent a vision to Cornelius about a man that was going to come to him and talk to him about something. And at the same time, God was giving Peter a vision that he was to go with some people to Cornelius' house and to talk to him about Jesus. You see, in verse 24, Acts chapter 10, verse 24, "On the morrow after they had entered Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were there together. So Peter arrives. Cornelius sends for him, as the vision said. Peter comes to Cornelius, as the vision said. And now Peter is here at his house. And notice what happens in verse 34. He says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation him that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And he begins to speak to him about Jesus. And notice in verse 44, he says, While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed with him and tarried certain days. This good man, this devout man, this God-fearing man, this generous man to the poor, in verse 48, still needed to be baptized. And he did. He would not have been saved without baptism. He could not have entered into the kingdom of heaven without baptism. So says Jesus in Mark chapter 16, and verse 16. He did the will of God. He was a good man. That wasn't enough. He obeyed the will of God and was baptized, have his sins forgiven. So when you reach out to people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need for them to be saved, don't accept the affirmation that they make that they're going to heaven because I'm a good person. God wouldn't send me to hell. I'm a good person. And may they list all kinds of good things that they did. Show them that that's not good enough. They need the forgiveness of their sins. They need to repent of their evil ways and come to the Lord in His ways to do the will of the Father. Change the way you've been living and turn to do the will of God. Let me close with a passage in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Paul, as he wrote to the church at Rome, he said, And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Don't be like the world. Do the will of God. Now, this doesn't mean that I'm not bashing good works and say, don't worry about doing good works. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's not what I'm saying at all. Do the good works. In fact, we're commanded to do good works. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, he said, As you have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially them of the household of faith. We're commanded to do good works. We need to do good works. But all these good works alone will lead us into heaven. So let's spread the news. Reach out to the lost, the good and the evil, with an invitation to enter into the kingdom of God by doing the will of God. Believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, be baptized in water, and wash those sins away. And live your life from that point on faithful to the God of heaven and doing His will. Jim has chosen the song, I Surrender All. Jesus asked this of all His disciples. He asked this of the rich man. Surrender all you have and come and follow me, and you can have eternal life. The rich man declined. Don't you incline today. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if you need to be baptized and have your sins forgiven, that you might enter into the kingdom of God, will you do that today? Will you do it right now? I'm going to sing this song for your encouragement. Won't you come forward while we stand and sing?